In many and various ways, God spoke to our ancestors of old through the prophets. But now in these last days, God has spoken to us by the Son. Amen. Even the sparrow finds a home at your altars, O Lord. So says our psalm this morning. Several months back, people were going in and out of the back door by my office one day, bringing things into the kitchen off Ron and Camp Hall, and I heard them as I worked in my office. Of course, they propped the door open so that they could carry their boxes in and out without setting things down. Lots of people do that. I can't even remember which group it was anymore, but when they were done, they locked their door, and I went on my way doing my work, and when I was done, I was getting ready to leave for home, and walked out my office door, closed it behind me, and then I went into the door by in the hallway. The door's, you know, just to the right of my office door, and I opened it up, and that's when I saw the sparrow. It was actually a spotted towhee. I didn't know that towhees were considered to be sparrows until I looked up this picture, but they are supposed to be sparrows, New World sparrows, so they're a little bit different than the ones the psalmist wrote about 3,000 years ago. This one had found a home in the courts of grace. Actually, not this one, but the one in the hallway back there. Actually, though, I was trying to find its way out through that big glass window back there, especially when I came through that hallway door. It flew all around the panes of the glass looking for a way out. It could see that there was an out to go to, but then it went the other way suddenly toward the stairs, and I thought, oh no, it's going to go up and run in Camp Hall, and when it gets up and the light's up there, we'll never find it. But instead of going up, it went down. It went through the treads of the stairs there and down into the basement. And then I thought, oh no, it's going to fly through the basement and then go up the other stairs into Ron and Camp Hall. We'll never get it out if it gets up in the lights. But instead of, when it went down to the basement, I went after it. Mind you, I had no idea how I was going to catch this sparrow, if I ever got close enough even to make an attempt. I just remembered that there was a robin's nest on our back porch one summer, and I didn't want that to happen in the courts of grace. As luck would have it, the towhee must have caught a glimpse of the window light in the middle Sunday school room, because by the time I got there, I flew much slower than the sparrow. It was trying to get out the basement window. And the cool thing about that room is that there are sliding doors to close, and so I carefully shut the doors while the towhee was busy trying to find a way through the glass. Though for the most part, it cowered in the corner of the window, keeping a close eye on my every move. I exited the room. I was all alone, looking around in the other Sunday school room next to it, and I thought, what can I get to capture that errant towhee? And then I saw the quilting room right there, and I had my keys with me, and I opened the quilting room, and you know there's nothing in there to toss over a towhee. I looked in a bunch of doors, but the closest thing I found was some batting, but it was all wrapped up in plastic, and so I didn't do that. And then I thought, what I really needed was a dish towel. So I went upstairs to the Ron and Cam kitchen, and my first choices were dish rags, which were way too small, and the tea towels weren't much bigger. And then I finally found an old flour sack dish towel. And then I picked it out, and I went down to catch the towhee, or at least try. I carefully opened the door, only partway at first. The sparrow had quieted down, but I could see it was really scared, and I crept across with the dish towel as I closed the door behind me. And when I got close, halfway across the room, the bird took off all around the window, back to the door, up above the heating duct. I didn't realize there was a space between the heating duct and the ceiling. And I closed, and finally, after flying all around the room several times, I got the towel over the bird, and it was in my hand and trembling like a leaf. I could feel its heart racing. I cradled it in my hands, brought it to the back door where it had been trying to get out, and opened the door up, and then it took off like a bolt of lightning across the alley, through the hedge, and then gone. The towhee didn't feel like it belonged in the courts of grace. In that sense, it was sort of like the tax collector who stood far off. The tax collector didn't seem at home in the courts of the Lord's house that day, and so he stood a ways away. Maybe he hadn't been in the temple in a long time. Maybe it wasn't something he had done, that maybe it was just that he was new there. But something kept him from lifting his eyes to heaven that day. That's how people prayed in the temple in the New Testament. They turned their heads towards heaven as a Pharisee is doing there. Remember, the temple was open to the air, and then they put their arms forth and stood there as though they would receive the very grace of God as an answer to their prayers. But the publican, the tax collector, the one in back here, cast his glance at the dirt and in a manner of repentance struck his chest again and again. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Something had captivated his spirit. Something chained him down, shut him in, closed him up like that little closed-in sparrow in our back hallway. He just didn't have the wherewithal even to glance towards God's grace and mercy. Yet it was precisely God's grace and mercy that found him as he stood in that far-off corner of the temple. Justified he was that day, not because of his good works or his clean living or his tithes, but because of his humility in the courts of God. And the grace and mercy of Jesus told about this deep humility in the parable and declared this one and his humility righteous. The righteous are found all throughout the Gospel of Luke. They are not the proud ones, those who revel in their accomplishments, but rather those who are humble of heart. Mary, Elizabeth, Simeon, Anna, these are they who find rest for their souls. Today we are going to baptize Zhang Tingwei. Most of you know him as Ted. Here he is taking a break at day camp. He's been with us for over a year. More than not, he is far off seated at the soundboard. In just a few moments, however, we will bring him to the font for his baptism. He has been washed with us for over a year now with the Word of God, and he's been using his gifts with us, praying with us. Today in the washing of regeneration, he becomes one with us in a deeper way, and more importantly, he will become one with God, righteous in God's sight, a sinner of God's own redeeming, a sparrow in the courts of God's house. Ted was the name that he got when he was learning English. I thought we might make that official today. There is a tradition of taking a new name when one is baptized. Since Ted is short for Theodore, I suggested that name to him, from Theos, which means God, and Doron, which means gift. Hence, Theodore means gift of God. A fitting name for a baptism, since baptism itself is a mighty gift of God. And today we will give Ted the name of Theodore in his baptism. Gift of God, gift of grace. Amen. All the paths of our Redeemer are steadfast love and faithfulness. Amen.